This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. The Supreme Court has set audio arguments for select cases in May. On Monday, the United States Supreme Court released a document announcing that it will hear oral arguments by telephone conference May 4th, 5th, and 6th, and then again on the 11th, 12th, and 13th in a limited number of previously postponed cases. The release goes on to list 10 court cases that will be scheduled on those dates, assuming the counsel for those cases are available. Of note on that list are several cases that relate to religious freedom. 19-267, Our Lady of Guadalupe School versus Morrissey Beru, and 19-348, St. James School versus Viel, both are being represented by the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. In both cases, Roman Catholic schools have been sued by previous instructors whose teaching contracts were not renewed after the performance of the teachers were found to be below school standards, including the responsibility of passing on the faith of those schools. The significance of these cases is the basic right of religious institutions to be free to choose their own pastors and teachers. Longtime listeners will recall that CrossPolitik has interviewed Luke Goodrich, a lawyer with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. The Beckett Fund is representing both defendants in these cases. Luke Goodrich is also the author of Free to Believe, which is a helpful overview of the recent religious liberty landscape. The Beckett Fund is no stranger to these waters. For example, they write, quote, in 2007, Hosanna Tabor Evangelical Lutheran Church and School in Redford, Michigan, found itself in a surprising position. A commissioned minister and teacher was suing them. Cheryl Parrish, a commissioned minister in the church, taught fourth grade, taught religion, and led worship services. The church school had dismissed her for insubordination, disruptive conduct, and threatening to sue the church, all in violation of church teachings. The church and its denomination have long taught that disputes over fitness for ministry must be resolved within the denomination. On January 11, 2012, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously for Hosanna Tabor, a decision the Wall Street Journal called one of the most important religious liberty cases in a half a century. The decision adopted Beckett's arguments, saying that the religious group should be free from government interference when they choose their leaders. The court rejected the government's narrow view of religious liberty as extreme, untenable, and remarkable. The decision stated, "We cannot accept the remarkable view that the religion clauses have nothing to say about a religious organization's freedom to select its own ministers." So, based on the Hosanna Tabor decision, the Beckett Fund would seem to be on very strong ground for defending these Roman Catholic schools' right to hire and fire their instructors freely. Another set of cases are also related to religious liberty that are slated to be heard via telephone conference at the Supreme Court in May, but in somewhat different categories. These are 19-431, Little Sisters of the Poor Saints Peter and Paul Home versus Pennsylvania, and 19-454, Trump versus Pennsylvania. You might remember the Little Sisters of the Poor being in the news a few years back, and you might be wondering why they're back in the news now. Recall that both the Little Sisters of the Poor and Hobby Lobby came into conflict with Obama's Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, which required both Christian organizations to provide their employees with health insurance plans that provided drugs and devices that cause abortions. Both organizations refused to do so and were subsequently fined millions of dollars. In May 2016, the Supreme Court unanimously overturned lower court rulings against the Little Sisters, ordered the government not to impose $70 million in fines against the Little Sisters, and said the lower courts should provide the government an opportunity to arrive at an approach going forward that accommodates the petitioners' religious beliefs. Both cases were based on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, sometimes called RFRA. Luke Goodrich explains in his book, Free to Believe, RFRA says that if any law imposes substantial burden on religion, the government must prove that the law is justified by a powerful governmental interest. He goes on and says, under RFRA, the burden of proof flips to the government to show that burdening people's religion is the only way to accomplish an extremely important governmental goal. Keep those phrases in mind. powerful governmental interest and an extremely important governmental goal. And the burden is on the government to demonstrate that. The Beckett Fund explains this new lawsuit against the Little Sisters of the Poor on their website. On October 6, 2017, Health and Human Services issued a new rule with an updated broad religious exemption that finally protected religious nonprofits like the Little Sisters of the Poor, this group of Catholic nuns who care for the elderly poor. In its new rule, the government admitted that it broke the law by trying to force the Little Sisters and others, like Hobby Lobby, to provide services like the week after pill in their health plans that violated their religious beliefs. That result should mean that the end is near for the Little Sisters lawsuit. However, following the new mandate announcement, the state of Pennsylvania sued the federal government to take away the Little Sisters' religious exemption. Pennsylvania admits that it already has and already uses many government programs to provide contraceptives to women who need them. Pennsylvania never challenged the Obama administration for creating much larger exceptions for secular corporations, exceptions that covered tens of millions more people than the religious exemption. Pennsylvania does not even have its own contraceptive mandate at all. And Pennsylvania's lawsuit does not identify a single real person who previously had contraceptive coverage but will lose it because of the new rule. Despite all this, Pennsylvania is asking a judge to order that the Little Sisters must comply with a federal mandate, not a state mandate, or pay tens of millions of dollars in fines. In Trump versus Pennsylvania, a parallel case being considered along with the Little Sisters case at the Supreme Court is based on a May 2017 executive order from President Trump requesting his administration to consider issuing amended regulations consistent with applicable law to address conscience-based objections to the preventative care mandate. A few months later, the administration pushed out new rules granting exemptions to employers with moral or religious objections to birth control. Among other things, these rules exempt both nonprofit employers and for-profit employers that are not publicly traded if those employers object based on its sincerely held moral convictions to contraception. However, a federal appeals court struck down the Trump administration's rules last July. The ruling states that Trump's administration did not follow appropriate procedures when rolling out the new rules, and it also rules that federal law does not authorize the broad exemptions described by the Trump administration's rule. So, this case regarding religious freedom and conscientious objection is also before the Supreme Court in May. All of these cases are of heightened interest in these days of COVID-19. As the numbers continue rolling in on the exact nature and extent of COVID-19, the models are being proven laughable and outrageously wrong. Not only that, but the orders coming down have grown increasingly draconian. In San Diego County, for example, the latest stay-home order criminalizes meeting anyone inside or outside who is not in your immediate family, except for what the government arbitrarily designates as essential. This was apparently being enforced on Friday when sheriff deputies were issuing tickets to people who were watching the sunset and having picnics near the beach. Everyone is required to stay home except to get food, care for a relative or friend, get necessary health care, or go to an essential job, the San Diego Fascist Department tweeted Saturday morning. Complacency is the enemy. Take social distancing more seriously to stop coronavirus. Of note is the fact that the deputies in the picture issuing tickets were definitely not 6 feet apart, even if they were wearing masks. Also, in Michigan, the governor has taken it upon herself to help you do your shopping. Some items in essential stores are now off limits. In Idaho, nothing quite so ridiculous has been mandated, but the liquor stores are considered essential businesses. Also, up to 250 people are allowed in food stores. But churches cannot meet, at least not in person. This is arbitrary and discriminatory. For all the idiocy of Michigan, at least the governor there is trying to be consistent. But that's the problem. When there isn't really an emergency or a real crisis, but your laws are pretending there is, you get into trouble. They don't make any sense. So we could arrange for a flash mob psalm sing at the local grocery store, but if we plan a psalm sing or a worship service, that's apparently illegal. Meanwhile, many singles, many elderly, many poor are being crushed by these bright ideas. Many Christian families will function in wonderful ways during these days. You'll draw together, you'll be creative, you'll have fun, and you'll remember it fondly. But what about the lonely, the forgotten, the elderly, the disabled, the addicts? All of us suffer when we miss corporate worship, but some of the most vulnerable suffer the most. The accountability, the encouragement, and the communion of the saints is not a nice add-on. It is not a non-essential community club. It is an essential function of any society that wants to flourish. Now that most hospitals are empty and the mortality rate is clearly most concerning for those over 60, it is time for churches to push back with their authorities and insist that worship is essential. If 250 people can function carefully to buy food at a grocery store, then the same number can gather carefully to get spiritual food in worship. If the government can insist that drugs and alcohol be available to all the addicts, then at least let the churches be open to help minister to them. To maintain otherwise, the government must demonstrate that burdening people's religion is the only way to accomplish an extremely important governmental goal, and they must explain why it is necessary to prohibit one essential gathering over another. This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik News Brief. You can find this show and all the others on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitik.com or fightlaughfeast.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast or CrossPolitik. And of course, support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight Laugh Feast club member. And for a limited time, you can get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt. I think they're still available. You can't get these anywhere else except by becoming a member while supplies last. And when you become a member, you also get access to tons of content behind the firewall, behind the paywall, including our new series, Pastors in Politics, special interviews with Douglas Wilson, Dan Fisher, George Grant, Roger Skeppel, Pat Perkins, David French, Eric Erickson, Walter Williams, Maj Ture, Kirk Kennedy, Gary DeMar. The list goes on and on. Join now. You also get access to our very own Worldview Shotgun series. Hope you have a great Tuesday.